Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today, I have Alexandra Morgan. Now, Alexandra is an emotional eating and menstrual health coach, and she helps women struggling with negative eating cycles and painful PMS symptoms to get the healthy body they want by healing emotional trauma. Something to think about there. It's going to be a great conversation. From leaving home at 15 to run from family destiny to moving countries at 22 to build a life for herself, she's no stranger with change and transformation. She knows what it's like to hate what is and yet not know how to do anything different. She knows we have to make the first move to step up for ourselves and what is right. It's been her lifelong work so far to learn unlearn her hard exterior. Own her femininity, embody true health, and take up space as a strong yet soft woman, a balance in a world that praises the masculine doing energy. That is a really interesting introduction, Alexandra. There's a lot in there just from that component of it. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. So happy to be here.
There's parts I want to break down in that.
There's a lot in that.
It certainly is. Run from family destiny. What does that mean?
So that, I suppose, is my forte, but I was hyper aware as a child that I don't fit in here. I don't, I guess, condone what the people around me are doing. I'm here trying to become a person, yet I don't want to learn from the people that are supposed to teach me. And so just that family destiny that we are born into, and we, you know, thank God I could see it for what it was. But maybe a lot of people, sometimes we can't, and there's still aspects of that I'm sure, you know, I'm going to learn for eternity. But to recognize it and to not get caught up in the family destiny, the, you know, becoming the product of our environment.
That's an interesting statement, becoming the product of our environment, because a lot of people aren't aware that they can choose a different destiny than what is everyday doing they can be supposed to do. And I'm sure we're going to have a conversation about that as we go along. But it's that ability to observe, I think, is this, you know, step outside and look in at your life and observe it as you would from a stranger's perspective and go, is this working? Is this not working? Is it something I want to participate in? At 15, that's a huge recognition.
Yeah, well, I knew I did not get along with my mum from pretty much three. I think when I started to get my own independence, that's when mum and I started having trouble. So energetically, I felt from a young age, you know, I connected really well with my dad and not with my mum. And so there was a lot of stuff going on there around that.
Do you think that was, and particularly when you were younger, energetically recognizing that this, it could be you and that's not what you wanted?
Probably not to that level.
Okay.
I'd say, I mean, I was very young.
But energetically going, there's something here that's creating this
yep.
barrier.
It was more so that my body knew I'm not receiving love here. I am your source of love. It was just the interchange was not it just all I would have known is that it didn't feel right, I guess. And but yet with Dad, it was much more organic, I suppose. He was quite a pure man with no expectations, whereas yeah, Mum was a bit different. Mum's had that traumatized childhood. She was an unloved child, so that need for love was different. Yeah.
And I'm just reading something this morning, and along that line of, if you behave a certain way or you achieve a certain thing or you respond a certain way, then that's you'll be loved. Is that the sort of thing you're thinking? Yeah,
I would agree. Yeah, the family of, you know, they, my family in particular, they suppress their emotions with high achieving. So some, you know, some people drink, some people eat, some people do whatever. There's also eating disorders, obviously, with this comes with the family destiny stuff as well. But for my family, it is the high achieving. So we, a lot, I know I hear people talk about it all the time, or we weren't allowed to relax, or relaxing is lazy, or always had to be doing something. So that kind of environment where, yeah, I was definitely not good enough.
Yes, it's one thing doing it because it's a passion. I'm working with a 10-year-old at the moment on speaking who wants to be school captain, and it's just amazing what she's doing, the tennis and dance and just high level of absolutely everything. But when I work with her, you know, the parents aren't there, and I go, are you having fun? And she's, oh, I love it. It's so good. So it's a different space, isn't it? You know, then and it was very genuine. It was just like, yeah, this is so cool. And that's a very different space than what you're talking about.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. That's what we want, isn't it?
Oh, it's quite amazing that I'm inspired by her.
Yeah.
She's 10 years old. It's incredible. What you actually was to step up for ourselves and what is right. What does that mean for you?
It's depends probably what age we are, but as far as what I'm doing in my business, it's just being a woman. When it comes to the female cycle or the menstrual cycle, I mean, I'm not sure, I can't remember what part I put that in the intro, but when it comes to the menstrual cycle, we're not talking up for ourselves. We might not even be taking care of ourselves properly because of the shame around the female cycle. It's pretty complex, even in how it shows up in relationships and business. And I remember it in a masculine industry that I was in, and you know, everyone gets half an hour for lunch and we're trying to squeeze in some food, and we've got all other things when you're on your period and trying to fit all this into, you know, we're rushing around and just being able to do what we need and stand up for ourselves.
That's a really interesting point about the shame part of it. I know in some countries when they've got, for women, when they've got their periods, they've got really negative terminology for it also. But it's been the girls can't go to school, or you know, there's a whole lot of women can't participate in society. They've got to be locked away during that period of time. And it's no wonder that something as natural as it is, and needs to be seen as natural it is, because that gives women the capacity to carry children, is that it's the word shame comes up.
Shame and confusion. And even that there's a, we're perceived as we, you know, being locked up and put away for this time. When you actually are looking at the truth, like if we check in with our bodies, what do we want to do on our period? We want to lock ourselves away and relax. And it's funny that we're in this, you know, doing world, and it's almost like we're supposed to think, no, I sh or how do I say, like we are supposed to want to keep going when it's not actually the truth for ourselves. And so it's really complex, you know. If I do know one woman who can go right through her period, she doesn't get much period pain. I think she does talk about getting maybe a little bit more tired, but she's the exception. Most women will get pretty fatigued, and it's generally the week leading up that we start to get really tired, or the eyes start to glaze over. And if we're really honest, you know, we're struggling and we get more clumsy and we do these things because our bodies need rest. Now, this is just part of being a woman, and it's a huge ignored piece because we're expected now that we should be able to achieve like men. And it's not that we don't have to if we don't want to, but there's still a reality here and things change. And so it's just kind of, okay, what do we do with this information, and how do we actually want to navigate this? And it can be as simple as just taking extra self-care. Like if you still really want to achieve and you want to do these things on your period, it's just going to mean really slow mornings or having that sleep in. And it's making these tough decisions because we're so programmed to go to the gym, or no, we've got to do this and we've got to do this and we've got to keep achieving. So it's a real undoing of a lot of deep conditioning. And a lot of people are really nervous about.
yeah, I can understand why they would be. Look, I was very, very blessed, and I am an exception to the rule. And
I guess I know two people now.
Yeah. The one thing that did happen was and I remember I didn't realize until I was dating, you know, my husband 45 years ago, whatever it was, and once a month we'd have this big fight, and it was me that caused it. It was me that was just, the moods would change, the hormones change. And then I started to figure out the regularity of those fights and realized that I wasn't behaving as I would normally behave, and I needed to be aware of it, not instigate something that it would cause an issue. And you know, over time I got better at it. I think that was my thing. But yes, I was very, very blessed without any period pains or anything that, and not the fatigue or that I can remember. And that's part of it, I suppose. What can I remember? And then going through menopause, other than a few hots, you know, waking up in the middle of the night hot and sweaty, which is very convenient in winter when you want to get up and pee, that was all. And it just went, oh, hang on, I haven't had them for a year. And I remember reading something from a doctor saying if one part was the periods were easy, then often, not a rule, but often that transition is easy as well. So I'm just thankful, really, really thankful that. And, you know, my sister did not have the same journey. And I know so many women that it's a real struggle. So that's why, is this part of your own story as well? Is this why you've got in this space?
100%. Yeah. By a couple of years ago, my periods got to the point where they were excruciating. But I want to point out that pain can be quite a broad term as well, I suppose. I could clarify that a little bit, because pain for you and pain for me can be two different things. Like I might experience physical pains in my stomach, but for you or for someone else, like your pains, you were experiencing painful troubles with your husband once a month. And so it's whatever and that's a symptom. So the symptoms for the menstrual cycle can be so broad. It can be the anxiety, the depression, the ups and downs, and and it's what I'm finding so powerful, and my clients are just loving it, is that knowledge. And it comes back to the knowledge is power thing again. we understand what we're going to be experiencing. So what you were experiencing was that 1 to 2 weeks in the lead up to the period, mm-hmm. and we become hyper-focused. Our whole brain chemistry changes. We become hyper-focused. We go bang, bang, bang with our tasks. We're getting stuff done, we're reorganizing the house, we're nesting, we're power woman.
Yeah.
And if that man is in the way, he's whipping himself into shape because we are focused for optimization.
And that explains a lot. Thank you.
we're coming at you. So it's a great, and like I say to my husband, we know. This is a great time to go away. If you are going to go and do something, do it at this time of the month. Like we really care as a business owner, we can optimize our lives to feel amazing and get the most out of life with understanding what to do and when, because it's quite important. It's fun. Well, it's fun. It's fun. Yeah. It's a way more empowering, fun way to run it.
And look, I'm probably now honor my husband a bit more because I am super driven and highly focused anyway. So you put that on steroids.
Yeah.
And it's just expecting other people to perform at that same level at that same time, which is very interesting for others in your space. It's, well, why can't you get it done? That's sort of people say to me, oh, you pop up everywhere, you get so many things done in a day, I can't believe your energy levels. And now that's at 65. You can imagine me at 30 doing the same thing.
He survived.
Yeah, he did. So mellowed out a lot more now. It's like, I think that's where I got. Yeah.
That estrogen's waning.
Yeah. And not taking over what you're saying, but another thing that for me that worked is finding alternatives to places to put my directional energy. I do energy work as well, so doing circle work for many years and things where it was another alternative outlet that wasn't just very left brain. It was something that was a different space.
Yep, 100%. And it can be a distraction. So because we are so focused, thank goodness, like if you've got a business, if you've got a passion, if you've got something, if you can guard your space a wee bit and get that focus time and you haven't got someone pestering you or you get that distraction out of your way, you can move mountains, which is like what you've done. Absolutely. And it's the boundaries and that kind of thing, focusing on self. And for a lot of women, or for some women, where this can become an issue is codependency. So I take it you've maybe had no problems, being an independent businesswoman, you're probably doing your own thing and having your own space, and it's probably not an issue. That's an assumption.
Yeah, look, codependency popped up years ago, and that was more to do with my parents, which was a really interesting concept. And when it was defined and I could then observe, and I think that's the power in anything, isn't it, Alexandra, is to be able to recognize something and then observe it. Because if you observe it, then you can adapt or change or modify, but it's that observation that's important.
Agreed.
That codependency was it came up as a word. Again, it was doing the energy work, and I went, I don't know what that means. And what my youngest son had broken his ankle, and we were at the hospital getting the plaster off and doing a checkup. And we were there for quite a while. And I am an avid reader, and I had a book with me, and the book was all about codependency. The word popped up in a couple of times in the 1 week. And I went, thank you very much. I've got the message now. I'm going to read the book. And it was a great learning as to that level of independence and the of when changing values as we do throughout our lives, my highest value is independence. So I know that now. And but it's part of learning. It's part of learning everything. It's for people like, you know, who are listening to this podcast or picking up a book, or we have to be continually learning if we want to be able to change and adapt and apply those learnings to have more success. And learning about yourself and health as you do with people, that would be, I imagine you've got some amazing stories.
The journey's never ending, isn't it? But it's exciting. I guess it's getting people over the line of, and I'd say most of your audience is well and truly over that line, but of not fearing change or not fearing the realizations. You know, I went through, I think when we first start having realizations, we probably go through a lot and then they start to be less maybe over time. But I've had huge stages in my life where I've just had boom, realization, 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 and so many realizations, especially when your childhood was that you were trying to understand what is right and what is the truth. And okay, how am I going to show up in this world? You're just like, oh, that's not true. And oh, wow. Like, no, I don't want to be like that. And that's what you think of me. And constantly not fearing that and just letting it come through and allowing that to make a change. And that process is fun and exciting, but and to when you can accept it, cool, what's next? Like, I don't want to be this thing that I don't want to be. Like, let's figure it out.
Yeah. And if you are in a space where you're trying to find distractions that will fulfill your life because of, you know, unhappiness and depression, then you're looking without rather than looking within, aren't you?
100%. And sometimes we don't know that we're even doing it. It's like, okay, maybe I've got this skill set. I don't think I can do anything else. Or I feel stuck, or I'm in this relationship. What do I do? And yeah, just might think there's no other option.
And I know in the information you sent me, you said you didn't think there was such a thing as depression. That's going to be controversial. That's going
very.
It is. It's going. People going, what? Explain what you
now,
mean.
Now, I am not a psychologist. I'm not a doctor. This came into my mind when I was driving a truck. So I'll just give you some context.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe in depression. I believe depression is a thing, but I believe it's just a reaction to an environment that we can change. So I'm not, I have not studied clinical depression. I understand that's like a chemical thing. I'd love to explore that just with food, although I'm sure people are exploring that. I know that as humans, we're made up with all kinds of imperfections, and I understand that. But for the vast majority of people that are just suffering with depression, I think, yes, it's environmental, which is probably not a groundbreaking discovery.
Well, I know I've had so many people say to me, you know, I've got this great life and, you know, good partner, the kids are good, everything's going well, I'm in a nice house, and, you know, and I feel depressed.
Yeah.
So that's what you're saying is there's a fabulous book called Happy for No Reason by Marcia Smirnoff, and I would recommend that as a reading for people. And it is part of what we're talking about is that happiness is a choice. And we have a set level of happiness within us, which we can change. But a lot of people are looking for something outside. Oh, I'll be happy when I lose 5 kilo, or I will be happy when I win the lotto. You know, it's putting it outside rather than, and everything you're talking about is that self-examination and allowing self, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's exactly how I grew up. My parents would buy, do up, sell houses. It was, we have the house and we're keeping up with the Joneses. We weren't rich by any means, but every focus and every penny went on the house. and how we appear. And what was on the inside of that house was unsavory. So it's not the things. I think as a collective, we all understand that now. It's not the things, but it's who are you? How do you show up? What do people really think? How do people even know you? You know, so, and that's just going from my, what I was looking at. So it's so much deeper than that. There's so much more. You don't, a car, a house, the garden, things being in its place is not going to be what gives you internal happiness.
Yes, things being in their place or expected to be a certain level. My grandmother's generation were happy with a two-bedroom home with seven children and everyone just getting in and doing the job. Suicide was really unheard of at the time. It was more a survival, and there were the joys in life. I remember her telling me that they had 17 children, by the way, not seven, but they grew up as they moved out, and but they would get an orange for Christmas in a stocking, and that was joy. There's so much more expectation, and that's because of the world we live in. It, you know, it's not in the 1930s, but there's just so much more external expectation of what things should be before we can find that happiness, which is then leads to what you do is that health, you know, looking after the body too. And that becomes a bit of a catch-22. If you don't do that, you don't get that.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, I brought my house that I live in here 6 or 7 years ago, and my mum, because they value houses and things, they wanted to come and see the house. That was, you know, so they came to see it. And my brother, I think, I didn't want for much. I was actually going to try and buy a piece of land with a tiny home and et cetera. You know, I was just on my own, and that ended up not being enough space. I got this house. It's still small. It was like a 3-bedroom smallish house, but it had some land. I wanted to grow some things, etc. And my brother gave my mum this little talk apparently before she came, like, now it's not what you would consider like a, you know, this is, you know, so don't judge her, and maybe don't say anything. So she shut her mouth the whole time and didn't say anything.
Oh, that's good. That was good on him.
Yeah, he was really trying, but then she gave me no advice. I was like, what should I do with this and that? And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's what is success? You know, for me, it's to every morning I wake up, every window in this house has green trees around it. I have birds flying through the deck. I can watch the wind go through the leaves. I'm surrounded by wind tree noises, and so it's what's my experience. It's how I wake up and I can experience nature and life, and it's a whole different thing. So yeah, tapping into this whole different world.
That is so important. And you're on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, which is a pretty nice place to be living. Also, I'm very much the same. I love walking in nature or being out in nature. For those that know me and follow me on social media, you'll know that I've always loved camping and just now upgraded the camper. We started with a small tent, big tent, bigger tent, camper trailer. Now we've got the full big caravan thing happening. But it's all just to get outdoors and to get out into spaces where you can just really ground yourself and appreciate being in nature. That's not the thing of the caravan. It's the purpose of it to get to be out in nature. But sitting in my office here, we've got parkland behind us, and I look at the pool and the trees, and I'm like you, I've got all these birds that keep flying past and they distract me all the time. The peewee's the boss, but all the other birds come in and fly in. And we've just had a murder of crows move into one of the trees the back. So we haven't. And I woke up on Sunday morning just really early and got up at 4 o'clock, and it was just starting to light, like it's still dark. And there's crows were already happening. Oh,
game over.
Yeah. But it's still that, you know, we also have planes flying over. I'd much rather have the crows than the planes flying over. It's just those moments. And I suppose that's that attitude of gratitude that comes with, and that makes you healthier. It makes you have less depression, definitely, and have more positive when you actually can, instead of looking for the things that are going wrong, looking for the things that are going right.
I love that.
Looking for the green lights. I always do this, but people drive along and they get somewhere. Oh, I've got all these red lights, to get here. Now I'm running late. Whereas rarely people will go, oh, I got every green light, and now it worked really well. I'm here early. Nobody will ever comment on that. And it's the green lights in life that we need to be noticing.
Yeah, 100%. What I like to do is look for the opportunity. And I guess I've always done it, but it especially helps being a business owner, because every red light for me is an opportunity to just sit and be. So, yeah, it depends. It's a mindset, isn't it?
How have you gone about recognizing that?
I'd say, you know, what probably really drilled it into me was I was in mining for 10 years. And so there was a lot of travel, etc., but I was exhausted a lot of the time. And so every moment I could try and get, I was trying to regain some energy. So potentially, you know, I'm a trained yoga teacher, so that a lot of mindfulness comes in there. Would have been the blend of all of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's, again, I'm just thinking aloud. I have run a retreat with a yogi and naturopath before, and we do an East meets West retreat. Oh, it's that combo of how you can apply these those practices in business, which is you still have to do business and you want to be able to go, you know, on retreat, learn things that you can take back, but then how can you apply them so that they're not overwhelming, which is what you're talking about. We haven't done that for a couple of years, but it was a wonderful experience for people, because you need the downtime. And anyone listening that doesn't do the downtime, then I put up a post today, or read a post. I read a post today. It was a story one, and it was about a elderly man dying, and his mother, the neighbor mother, ringing the son and saying that the neighbor died. And he said, oh, I don't really remember. I thought he'd already passed. And she said, no, remember how he would spend time with you once your dad had gone. And then the son started remembering, yes, he helped me carpentry, and he came back for the funeral. And then he said, there was always this box that this man said was his most valuable asset. And it sat on his desk, and when they were in the house, it wasn't there. And he said, oh, he kept asking him as a kid and a young adult, what's in the box? What's your most valuable asset? Anyway, this man returns home, and there's this package there for him, and it's the box. And inside the box is a beautiful watch. Oh, and it's the most precious thing is time. And it is. I mean, now at my age, I'm sort of going, well, 65, I plan on 125, so there's another 60 years. But what can I do to make the most of that time? And again, I know sort of on my epitaph, well, she didn't miss out on a thing, is probably what I want on there. But it's not just filling time, it's being, isn't it? That's what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And it's a focus thing. I have to tell you too, I did laugh. I thought you were going to say the man box. Like, that would be a treat. Yeah, it's a focus. All I can say is really it's a mindset. I would love to maybe do something on this, because it's at the forefront of my mind. I love my business and I love working. And even when I was an employee, and it was a focus. So I was always like, how can I optimize this? Or how can I optimize myself for this? And it was, I just knew what I needed. I knew if I need, like for me personally, and I know this goes for most people, to stop and shut my eyes for 10 minutes and breathe is a recharge. So, I mean, we know this, the research is out there, but it's still not almost, it's almost still not acceptable because it's perceived as lazy or it's perceived as doing nothing. And that still might come from a lot of the programming of not being allowed to do this stuff as children, etc., but still in business, given I'm not working in corporate. But there's still this kind of thing in business that you just, you know, look like you're busy, even if you're doing nothing. And it that just burns out your system. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to change that in business.
And it's not just business, because that's the perception, you know, social media, you look at everyone else and they're doing so much and they're achieving so much. And we know most of that is false. It's not really what's happening in people's lives. But we hold ourselves to account then if we can't be and achieve and as everyone else is doing. It's that judgment that we're constantly putting on ourselves. And how can we shift that?
There's two sides of it. And like for one of my second points today is looking fun. So the achievement and the looking fun, it's all how we are looking to someone else. How can we change that? We'd have to start with maybe the people in business or the people in life to kind of make it okay. Do we start from the top? We could. But as far as social media, etc., this it's about, yeah, it's very outward, isn't it? And being perceived as fun and being perceived as busy. This is like one of my favorite topics to talk about. It's messy. The first step is to just not take part in it. For me, this sounds easy because I guess I was programmed from a young age to be okay with being disconnected from the family around me. I knew they were this very outward focus. They knew that people perceived as having a house and this and a pool and et cetera as being acceptable to society. So my family knew that. I knew that I didn't think my family were very nice people. And so I was, I guess, programmed from a young age to know that I'm okay with being alone, knowing that I don't really want to be a part of that over there. So for me, it's, I guess it's quite easy to go, you know, I don't need to be perceived as fun. I don't need to be perceived as busy. I know what I'm doing. It's the trust in yourself.
The judgment then, you know, from families, especially where there's strong cultural ties, to go, this is not acceptable. I need to remove myself from this space. I work with a lot of people from different cultures, and that's impossible. That's, well, it's perceived it's impossible for them because they don't want to lose their family. They don't want to lose that connection with their family. But they, even though they know it is really detrimental to their emotional and physical health.
Yeah, exactly. What's the level to which you're willing to abandon yourself? Because that's the decision you're now having to make. You can fit in, but you have to abandon yourself to fit in, because what, where's the middle ground? It's really hard to do both. Maybe some people can. Maybe some people can be one thing to their family and another thing to themselves. But from a very young age, when you're trying to make sense of the world, that's rather difficult. So I guess at the start, there is a decision that has to be made. And how does that feel? How does that feel within your body to be, I guess, signing up to this world that you maybe don't want to be a part of?
I think one of the things that helped me a lot was accepting that the other people are doing the best they can with the skills that they've got.
Mm-hmm.
And going, well, that's the best they can do. And mm-hmm. and I would then put up my invisible barrier to protect me emotionally. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do it. Also, I still do it on airplanes now. And mm-hmm. I flew down to Sydney with my 11-year-old grandson. And I taught him to put up a barrier just to make sure that there's no other sickness or energy or something to. Then he was telling his 8-year-old sister about it, teaching her that you need to have that invisible barrier around yourself so that you can protect yourself. And the airplane is a good space to do that, because a lot of people jump on planes and then they get off and they're sick and physically sick. But it's not just there's someone on the plane coughing, that usually it's because there's so much energy in such a confined space, and it makes you uncomfortable or dis at ease, and mm-hmm. it creates that space. Right. So anyway, that was what I was teaching him, was to put that barrier. But it's that, okay, rather than trying to, and this is a big thing, rather than trying to fix people or change them or just accept, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you understand your mother, you know, that's the best you can do, because that's what comes across. That's it.
Yeah, 100%. Agreed. Mm-hmm. It took me a long time to, and I've definitely not mastered it when it comes to family. I chose to move country. But yeah, with other people, yeah, that's a beautiful thing to be teaching your children. How incredible.
Yeah, well, it's working on it. It's coming in from a few different sides with different stories as well. Baggage on other sides. So we just sort of focus on what you can do with grandchildren. They're not yours. They're only on loan to you when they're with you. So and now getting back to, you know, the PMS and the healthy body, which is what your focus is on, all the things we've been talking about, mindset, now do you see this represented with the body responding not as well as it could?
And what respect?
Well, just taking on emotional stuff that causes that emotion in the body, then the body's going to represent it somehow. That's what happens. So do you find that there's a connection across between what's going on?
Absolutely. And that's why I work with the menstrual cycle, emotional eating, emotional trauma, and family dysfunction. That's my jam. That's essentially my four go-tos, because it is so connected. What happened to us in childhood, we all understand the childhood trauma situation, and then how that plays, how we show up now in life, and the emotions that we maybe haven't processed affecting our menstrual cycle, affecting our relationships, impacting all different areas of our life. But absolutely, emotions stored in the body make us sick. It's research has shown that now. And so it's unpacking all these different areas. Are we emotional eating? There's emotional eating is the biggest one that comes. That's why clients come to me. And there's kind of the two biggest pieces as to why is being out of alignment with the female cycle and the emotional stuff that's going on that we're not looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I definitely agree that the emotions are everything. In this society, it's not huge yet that we really look at the emotions and we really check into ourselves. And I think especially in Australia, probably the vast majority of people are just kind of going to work and doing their things, and not really, we don't want to dig up the past, and we're not going to therapy and all that kind of thing. So what I love about my business and about coaching as opposed to therapy, like I love therapy, there's a place for everything, it needs mm-hmm. to happen, we need to figure ourselves out. But with coaching being more, how are you showing up now? We don't have to go and dig up the whole past. The past is important. It's helpful to go to therapy and figure out what it is that's happened, if you don't know, and then use that to change how you're showing up now. What's that annoying thing that you're doing that you don't want to do, that you want to change? All right, let's get back to the root of it and just rechange things a bit, and let's start programming you for success in whatever area. If it is with your emotional eating, why are you emotional eating? What is the driver? And then let's figure it out.
I think that emotional eating would possibly be the thing that most people can relate to. And then once they imagine they're working with you and they start digging around differently, they go, oh, okay, that's just one little part of that. That's sort of the end result of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for that reflection. That would be very helpful for me.
Look, we, you know, obviously resonated and talked on topics that we both love, enjoy. And it's really interesting. I've been doing the podcast now for about 8 or 9 years, and there's 170 something episodes. And I started podcasts before podcasts were, you know, when they were just starting out, and used to do them a lot more regularly. And they're now they're every 3 weeks. But you see, when you're evaluating what you're doing in business and going, why do I keep doing the podcasts? Well, exactly what we've done today, Alexandra. I love the conversations. I find that the women that I interview, like yourself, have so much to offer and give. But the conversations fill me as well. And hence why I think the We Are Women podcast will be going on for another 175 episodes. I'm sorry, I know it's selfish, but it's all about me. No, it's not. It's about what the listeners get out of it. And I really appreciate what you've been able to share. We usually do 3 takeaways. What can you provide for the takeaway? So people go, that's what I'll particularly remember.
So point one is that we eat, think, move, and in turn have to treat ourselves differently to men. So our brain chemistry changes every month. We're different people at different stages of the month. That's perfectly normal. It's perfectly okay. There's just different things that we can do to support that so that we feel good and we don't have to have that monthly mental breakdown that is world ending, which we all, you know, we've all been there. We've all been there. Number two is looking fun. So being perceived as looking fun, which is the social media point that you touched on, looking busy, looking fun, meeting others' perceived needs creates disconnection from our authentic self and can in turn cause depression.
Number three, the perceived needs,
it's so perceived that we need to entertain other people and be this certain thing. Perceived. Number three, that feelings are the most important tool in our tool belt for the life, sorry, for life, in our tool belt for life. And the majority of people are avoiding them. So our feelings and our emotions, they're signposts for us. How we feel about something in our environment, that is now information. Is that something that we need to change? Is that something good? So all of feelings are is information that empower us to do something, and we don't need to fear that doing something. We can absolutely do the things that need to be done to create whatever it is that we want to create, the healthy body or the life that we want.
Yeah, well, perfect. Thank you so much for sharing those. And as I say nearly with every interview, wow, the time goes so fast.
It does. Thank you so much for having me. Absolutely loved it.
You are most welcome, Alexandra. How can people get in touch with you?
I am on Instagram. It's mainly where I am, alexandramorgan.joy, or my website, alexandramorgan.com.au.
And so easy to find, and all of those details will be in the show notes anyway for people who are finding us either on wanting to watch it on YouTube or across any of the podcast channels. You can download it on all of them, including Spotify. Thank you so much. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember, if you've got any questions or you're wondering about what you can do with your life or your business, then please go to JeaneVosper.com and book a complimentary strategy call. I'd love to assist you in achieving the results that you want in life. And have a fantastic day, week, month, year, life, whatever's happening in your world. And look forward to you joining us next time on the We Are Women podcast. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Jeaneen's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.